Yes, sir, you.
Okay, I want to say something and I want to ask. And then the thing I want to say is that those of you who are showing intolerance for speakers from the church or clients or whatever, and those of you who are waving your fingers and throwing out what amounts to various forms of hatred, I just want all of you to know that I find that as despicable here as I found it when I was in church.
Did everyone hear that? Okay. The gentleman is absolutely correct. But the question in terms of articulating a position and giving me the opportunity to speak, has to do with the issue of whether you're going to institutionally create so much disruption so that I can't speak. If there were people here who want to articulate a position as this gentleman so ably did, and if people are being removed because of intolerance and repression, then it's wrong. But if a bigger organization has sent these people over, not to express their views, but to disrupt, and if that is no choice but to remove the disruption so that you and me can speak. Yes, sir. Go ahead. The question is Ron dead? What am I doing about it? Well, it's a bit, when I first called in telephone. And someone said to me, they released a statement of how long it exists. And I knew nothing about it. But given the mystery that's been created, the fact that he's been hiding, they say he's in seclusion, the man died in a motor room. And no disrespect to Harvey, but he died in a motor room. And the lawyers were brought up immediately, apparently, from what I read, before he died. And he was cremated within 24 hours, according to what I read, so there could be no autopsy. And I know for a fact, from evidence in the record, that he was a very sick man for many years. And the falsehoods that have been created, that he was a healthy, supremely healthy person, that he causatively caused his death, it's nonsense. The man suffered from numerous pulmonary embolisms. He had severe pulmonary problems, starting in at least 1979, that I know from a fact, from his personal medical advisor, Kima Douglas, he was on large doses of Coumadin, a blood-thinning drug, because of his pulmonary problems. He suffered numerous health ailments. He was maniacal about having his clothes washed in 13 buckets of water to remove soap, his allergies. He had a host of ailments that we all suffer from. He was a human being. So the falsehoods that could get created about how he died and his health, and that I think the record should correct. But when I first got called, my immediate reaction, because of my knowledge of what's going on and that there's this large investigation that's been going on, and in my own suit in Boston, in September 1985, or October 1985, they filed an affidavit dated in September 1985 saying that he was the target of a criminal prosecution. This is the church, the scavenging company. And he was going to take the Fifth Amendment, assert his Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination, if he was called to testify in a deposition that we were trying to conduct of him. And although the IRS tells me nothing, they're a governmental agency and
they will give me no information, since I represent numerous people who give them information. Jerry Armstrong, Laurel Sullivan, Howard Schomer. I can get a feel from the questions that they're asking them where their investigation's going. And I began to get the feel that things were really getting close. And that there were going to be, I got the feel that there were going to be numerous indictments. And I got the feeling that they were going to include L. Ron Hubbard. Because their own, his own people filed an affidavit saying he was the target of criminal prosecution and was going to take the fifth. And the next thing I know, in 4 years of mystery surrounding where he is and who's in contact with him and the hidden data line and time elapsing ink and crazy issues. As soon as I heard, I found it incredible that he would die right now. So I said to some reporters, the coincidence, and I apparently there are some reporters here, and they know that I said this to them. I find it incredible, the timing of this thing. And I'd like to know, why wasn't he hospitalized? Why did Eugene Dink disappear in May 1984 when I tried to subpoena him during the Armstrong case? What were the indications for his hospitalization? Was he on life support system? What medications was he taking? What were the facts surrounding the death of this man who created this organization? You people have a right to know. So I said to the press, I'd like to know. I'd like to know whether it's a hoax. I'd like to know whether this is true. Is he dead? I'd like to know who identified the body. So knowing nothing about it when I was first contacted, having spoken to no one, except a few reporters who first called me, I raised those questions. And I said, the timing is so incredible that this warrants further scrutiny. Well, Earl Cooley, their new lawyer, sued me last week for saying I've defamed him because, and nothing I've said in any press release, as the press knows, I've ever mentioned Earl Cooley's name. Haven't even mentioned it. Simply by questioning the events surrounding his death and whether it was true or not, or whether it was a hoax, Cooley is claiming in this lawsuit that because I raised these questions and said it might be a hoax, I brought into question his truth or veracity and maligned him, so he sued me. I have yet to sue any Scientology lawyer. They've sued me 13 to 17 times. I've never sued any one of them. Now, is he dead? The San Luis Obispo coroner says he's dead. They said that an independent verification of his fingerprints, blood type, and photographs were taken. And then a documents were presented and waved around by the lawyers who were present, including Mr. Cooley, the will and a certificate of religious preference that he didn't want an autopsy done. And the certificate of religious preference was dated a week before that. And he causatively died one day after he created another will on top of numerous prior wills that had been created. But now it turns out there might have been a stroke at least a week before he actually died. It also turns out there was a period of at least 12 to 24 hours before they even notified the coroner of the death. The blood gets old very quickly. So I have loads of questions about what medications were in his blood. And many drugs have very short half-lives. As many toxicologists, if any of you here are lab technicians, toxicologists, know. And they disappear very quickly. And the blood breaks down after death. So oftentimes it's very difficult to trace some drugs. Others you can trace for longer periods. But there are loads of issues that are raised. And he was cremated in 24 hours with a few lawyers around. And given all the facts and circumstances surrounding this man's life, I find that inappropriate. I don't think the evidence should have been removed like that. But apparently the coroner had no choice because of this certificate and because Dr. Denk was present. So I accept at this point, on the face of the evidence, as a lawyer, I accept that L. Ron Hubbard is dead. But I have seen in the years of litigating with the church, such as the frame-up of me on the $2 million check, a willingness to go to so many bizarre ends to suppress facts that I would always leave the door open in my mind for further inquiry. Yes, sir. All right, now, as far as individual situations in the class action suit, such as signing releases, waivers, harassment to you personally, representations made to you that you believed in, every person's individual situation is going to have to be reviewed. I am not a California lawyer. I've litigated, for example, the Armstrong case in California that I was admitted on a discretionary basis to try that case. Local lawyers will have to be hired, who will have to be paid. And that's why this group is trying to raise money, because you've got to hire local counsel. The local counsel will have to review situations such as yours to determine whether in your individual situation where you stand, even though you can't get your money back, for example, because you signed that release, which you took money in consideration of, should you get your PC files back? All those issues need to be addressed. The validity of a waiver or a release, it's not a simple thing. If your PC files have subsequently been culled or used, you would still have a live action. Those individual situations need to be addressed, and I cannot answer them at this podium in a broad sense tonight. Taking up on this gentleman's point, in the 1770s in this country, there were people who were Englishmen who obeyed King George and obeyed the Church of England, who felt repression, who went to the king and said, lighten up on the oppression. And the king gave them more oppression. They were confronted as human beings with some very simple issues. Do I live as a man, and by that I mean as a woman too, do I live as a free fate, a liberated human being? who confronts data and continues to grow in consciousness, in intellect, in emotional strength, in that confrontation. And once I recognize, such as those colonists recognize, that they could no longer live as free human beings under that oppression, they declared their independence. And they got a scroll together. And they said that we believe that men have inalienable rights. And that government is created for the people. And when the government turns on the people and begins to oppress the people, it is no longer valid government. Because we are the people and we are the government. You people are the church. You should declare your independence from oppression. If nothing else, you should sign to say, I'm free. Yeah. Did everyone hear the latter part of that? This gentleman said that Dorothy Parker was asked years ago whether Calvin Coolidge was dead. What? Was told. And her response was, how can they tell? Now, a California lawyer would have to be asked whether putting a rubber stamp on the back of a check constitutes sufficient disagreement with the underlying basis for which the check was given, so that you in effect had a reservation of rights in terms of whether you could still sue for any other monies that were owed you or other legal rights that you had. Mr. Kilbourne here laughed as I did because it's a technical question. And many things in the law are not gray and white. They're extremely complex, and they flow with the facts in the situation, each individual situation. So it's very difficult, without a full analysis of an individual problem, to give a legal opinion, which, as I've indicated tonight, I can't do. What I can categorically tell you is you have a legal basis for a class action suit. Yes, sir. It raises an interesting point. If in the and I've got to remember quickly here, and I'm not remembering in the autobiography of a yogi, supposedly, and I'm trying to Yogananda. Supposedly, Yogananda, very spiritually enlightened and elevated man in unity consciousness. Supposedly a very gentle man. Supposedly his body, his material corporeal body, months at least, maybe perhaps years after he died, was still completely intact with no aid of drugs that would preserve it. Formaldehyde. If you believe, for example, in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, you might believe that spirit so permeated his being that that being preserved his physical body. I personally do not discount that possibility in having a great deal of affinity to the Hindu religion and a great deal of affinity to the Yoga Sutras. I personally can understand in my approach to those things that that could take place. Others may disagree with me. If L. Ron Hubbard was a big being whose consciousness so permeated his being, then he could be self-cryogenically kept, potentially for a period of time. Aside from that, there is a very practical solution, which they do every day, of putting a person on ice, where you preserve the evidence. I've got to get some of these people in the back. Yes, sir.
The death timetable for the
as a practical matter, as strong as you become in terms of raising money and hiring local counsel, in terms of getting together the documents, the pleadings, the legal talent, the vitality of your suit will be proportionately strong, and the time element, as a practical matter, will be that much expedited by talented lawyers and an injunctive or equitable type of lawsuit to get redress for some of the issues, such as the PC files, in rapid fashion. It is difficult, if not impossible, for me to tell you, because of the nature of the law, because of the way courts control the legal system, because of the armies of lawyers that may be fighting you. And in that sense, you do not have an easy task. But neither did the Allies. Neither did the Americans after Pearl Harbor when they had lost their whole Pacific fleet. But what you do have is you've got the creed, you've got numbers, you are the church. You can create the vitality, you can create a movement that may bring them even to the bargaining table so that they give you your PC files before the litigation ever even terminates, so that they give an accounting. But one practical answer to you is this. At the outset of the lawsuit that is contemplated, there would be preliminary relief sought right at the beginning to prevent harassment, to enjoin those people from committing harassment, to identify the PC files and hold them separately, perhaps by the court, to impound funds, secure bank accounts until a full hearing on the merits has taken place. That type of preliminary expedited relief you can pursue, and I believe you will win.